28th of February, Tuesday the 28th of February. This is tape 222. I'm interviewing Mr. Joe Spedding at his home in Leap. Right, Mr. Spedding, would you like to tell me where you were born?
I was born in Radnorshire in the end of the First World War. Our mother went there because the war was on in London, and our father worked there for the Forster family. And Lord Forster was then in the War Office, and my father drove for them. So, to be safe, that's why I was born in Radnorshire. And 2 years later, we came back to Leap. Everything had settled, the war and everything else, so we returned to Leap, which was the Forster home, at Leap and Exbury House. They owned all of that. And so my memories were that from then, in Leap House initially, I can remember being in the old hall, and the first meal when we arrived there, little kids, you know, my twin brother and I, and, you know, that, and we had a couple of weeks there before we could move into number one, which was a more or less a six-roomed house. These are four-roomed, these other cottages. And so those are my first memories of life, and I can see them clearly now. And we went, when we moved into number one and the fun, the Coast Guards were here in some of the cottages then. And the watch house here was still being commanded on a daily routine with staff. So those are my memories of Leap and being rescued one day by the Coast Guard. I think I was three then. They gave us a sugar box. And my brother and I, my twin brother and I, got in it with little paddles just on the beach here. And I can remember them having coming out in a boat to pick us up because we'd been blown offshore with the northerly winds. And our mother came looking for us. Someone spotted us way out in the southern desert. That's the first marine memories or maritime memories, but it's so clear now, but, and of course since then, lots of things have happened, haven't they?
They have. And would you mind telling me when you were born? When you were born?
Oh, the date?
Yes.
Yeah, when you say. All right. Oh yeah, I was born in the 30th December in 1918, at the end of the, just after the end of the First World War, but in Preston, Radnorshire, our grandmother's home. And I can't remember that particular day, but I can remember 2 years later coming to Leap.
And so you grew up here in Leap?
And I grew up here, yeah, as kids. We all went to Exbury School, except our elder brother. There was one other brother who was born during the middle of the war, and he lived with the grandparents because of her mother went back to London for a while to see her husband, you know, her father, and back to Preston. But basically he stayed on there because when we came to Leap at first, you know, to be organised, they wanted to keep Richard or Dick there. And so he was brought up with the grandparents and grand-aunts. But he came home every leave or holiday he was home. So we were quite a bundle of kids and a bundle of trouble, I would think, to her parents. Had a great life here.
How many brothers and sisters?
There were six of us of that family, but there were three stepchildren from a previous family. So you understand, from on our father's side. So you can imagine quite a... Well, we didn't all live in that house. The stepchildren were old enough to work, and two worked with the Forsters, and another worked away in Cheshire or somewhere. But we all met regularly and had real hoedowns.
So you lived at one Coast Guard cottage?
Number one Coast Guard cottage. With a big garden, chickens and ducks and... But fishing on the beach and nets our father had locally with the local people here.
Oh.
A good life, a good healthy life, yes.
And where did your parents, what were your parents' names?
Well, our father was David Spedding and our mother was Sarah Ann Spedding. And she lived to be 81, he lived to be 75. He was much older than her, 20 odd years. But he died in 1942, summer, I'm sure it was 42.
And where did they come from?
Our father, well, the Speddings came initially from Northumbria, but maybe 2 centuries ago, maybe a little more. I did hear that they were feudal barons, but they didn't leave me any. Our father's grandfather brought the steam plough from Northumberland to Hampshire for farm contracts. The steam plough in those initially was a traction engine with wires and pulleys that drew a plough across the fields up and down, and it moved along side of the field, and this was the process of large farming projects, and that's how they initially came here. and our father went to school here at Old Leap, which is 150 metres north of here, just over the field. There's a little, did you come through Exby this way? There's a little turning, it says public footpath, just down the road there. Well, that, there's all cattle have been there, there's all a little compound to pound animals in, but that is the street, that was Leap. I've got an old map somewhere showing you, marking there, and the school was there, and that's where my father, or our father, sorry, went to school. And, but sadly, I have looked for remains, but of course in those days there weren't footings for houses, and it's all, there are elements of little bottles and things, glassware, china and things, little bits there, but basically the whole thing is gone there, and it's animals and things and grass.
And your mother, is she local? Was she local?
No, she was a Shrop. Well, no, she was a Radnorshire woman. Her people, her father was a JP and something in Preston, Radnorshire. Their people had farms in around Radnorshire. And so her name, Thomas, would give you an idea of the Welsh side of the family. But she was a nice woman, yeah. A hard-working family woman who, incredible. I sometimes think how the hell she did it, because in those days there were no cars. She used to walk us to Exby School in her various stages, because there was her elder brother who stayed in school in Radnorshire, but the twins, which I was, then we had another brother, Ted, who's in Nova Scotia at the moment, and her two sisters, Rachel and Audrey. Audrey lives along here in the colleges. So you see, there was a bundle of kids to walk to school, to wash for, to do everything. I can see my mother now mending socks and knitting them. You know, she had time to do it, because it wasn't TV then and all the other odd things to take one's mind off, the mundane tasks. So. But I'd love to tell you about, well, our father worked hard. I remember him saying driving to Scotland in an old Didion Bouton, which I believe you've got one in the museum over there, open at the front but closed in at the back with an army type greatcoat, and driving there for the deer shoots. They would all go by train, but he would drive that up, so they were mobile for the grouse or deer shoots, and then he would have to drive back. And I remember him explaining to me how he drove all the way back from Scotland, and it rained the whole way, and with this army-type coat on, and having to tip gallons or 2 gallon cans of petrol in the thing every so far, you know, because there weren't garages in those days. I thought, well, how the hell did he do it? I mean, if I had to do it now, I'd want to, you know, everything laid on in a Lamborghini or something there. But I could tell you about our mother. Our father died in 42, and our mother had had all the many, many problems. She'd had brought up a family. She'd had 2 lung hemorrhages, nursing a tubercular woman. But she then, when our father died, she opted to go. My twin brother, by the way, was badly wounded in the back of the White Hare. He was in the Navy, had to come home. And so that he could, he was, after a year he came home, but she then went to Southampton 5 nights a week, rode a bike to Hythe, over on the ferry to Southampton, and worked in the Royal Southampton Hospital for 5 nights a week for nothing. She was a Red Cross nurse, and I don't know how she rode the bike to Hythe, because when I used to get on it, it was hard work. But truly, and I think it's so remarkable that someone could do all that. I mean, we were all transported everywhere, weren't we? The services, but I thought, God, you know, people complain. I don't know why. But she had a breast removed when I came out. I was in visit out, can't remember what year. And she asked me to examine her. She had all that. Within a week, she had it done, and the whole mammary gland and the lymph glands removed. And she was 50 something then. I can't tell you which, but she died at 81, which is not bad life, was it? After all that, and. When I hear people complain, I have to remind them of what people in those days, or some people, did, despite their frailties and families. And I find it remarkable that someone could do all that with coal fires, no electricity, no washing machines. I think it's remarkable. And I suppose in my life, when I had our father's way of life as well, long hours, when I think of it, digging the garden, teaching us all to row, to fish, and to shoot, because we were allowed to shoot on the 70 acres of what became Leap Estate after the Rothschilds took over in 1920-something, I think. But truly, when I think of that, what people did and were able to do, and able to teach their kids, I think these people, they're something to look up to.
So getting back to you, where did you go to school?
I went to school at Exbury at a Church of England school. Remarkable teacher. Well, the initial teacher, I think, he had a beard, we called him Chops Fairbrother. He was a great guy, but we all had to have good hidings. He would give us one and our father would give us another when we got home for being cheeky or whatever. But that was good. And eventually a Mrs. Boone took over with a junior teacher. And she tried everything, the arts, music, I thought. She taught us everything. You know, when we moved into the higher grades, we were taught everything practically. I think, I don't know the number of pupils there, possibly the whole school, 50 odd. There was her and a younger teacher. And how we all learned, and when I reflect, I think we did very well on the teaching of those two people. I couldn't say I was a brilliant scholar. I was a poorly thing as a kid. You know, if somebody had something, it had to be me. I'd fall over, I'd break my leg or I'd poison me. I'd have mumps, chicken pox. If there was anything going, I had it. I don't know why. So I lost quite a bit of learning. But just the same, I think Mrs. Buller, my mother, did remarkably well.
So how old were you when you left school?
15.
And what did you do after that?
Well, I played around fishing, and I did help in a little shop up in the village at Blackfield, but the man there was a brute to his wife, and I couldn't stand it, and I told him off, so he said I could leave at the end of the week, so I said, I'll do better, I'll leave now. I was 15 and a half, and so I left, and my father, after a while, I was out in our boat fishing, and he kept saying to me, have you tried to get a job? And I said, well, I've tried, Dad, but nothing around, you know. And it went on and on. And one day he said to me, I've had enough of you fishing. I've got a job for you. I said, what's that? He said, footman. I said, I'm not being a footman. He said, I'm taking you to Bewley tomorrow to meet Fred Shepherd, a dear friend of mine. Well, I'd heard him. I think I'd met Mr. Shepherd. I don't know. But anyway, he took me there to see him. I was then 16. And I met him, and he was a very nice chap. He said, Frank, real name is Frank. He said, you will not regret coming here. It's a good life. I was promised a job in the refinery at 18, but of course, until I was 18, I had nothing. And really, I went there. Fred Shepherd said, you won't regret this. I'll teach you everything about the trade, and you'll have a good home, you'll have clothes, and you'll have a bed, and everything well looked after. And I must admit, his words were true, and really, and Lady Montague, who became Pearl Lady Bouverie afterward, was like a mother. And I say that without any pretense at all. You know, I remember me smashing a kneecap, chasing one of the maids, and I hit it on a stone step. And I can remember her, I was in agony, but she was just, I can remember her cutting my trousers off, then getting the doctor, and I had to have a couple of weeks in bed there, and then I was brought home for another couple of weeks. But I remember having flu, how she would nurse me and the girls. If anyone was ill, she would run up and down the stairs. I thought that was remarkable. And she was just like a mum. And that, and Fred Shepherd himself, is still a friend of mine. He's over 90, gone back to Salisbury. His children we meet regularly. He's a great fellow. And I only stayed there 2 years, but it was a great training. I could always dance. I'd learnt to dance at school. So with about 8 maids, I had the time of my life going dancing. I had no regrets about that. But Fred Shepherd, his first thing, he gave me a book, literally, and it was called Lost Opportunities. I can't remember the author, but that was showing you how, by procrastination, you could lose. You know, you'd say, oh no, I'll do it tomorrow, and you would lose. And I found in life, well, that book, it was done it was only a simple little book. It showed how a man had a chance to go on a boat, for saying, said to his pals, I've got a job, we're sailing at 10 o'clock tonight. They said, well, come on, have a quick drink. They went in the pub. Of course he looked, God, it's 10 o'clock. He ran like hell down to the docks, and there was the ship sailing away. He'd had one too many, been led on. And it's true, I found in life there that that book is always in my mind, and I've got Canadian friends that are coming over again in April. A lad was here with me as a youngster. And truly, we've tried everywhere to get this book and can't, but there's the story of my life, and I'd say to anyone, don't hang around, do it, you know, don't procrastinate, go ahead and do it. But that life there was 2 years of my life, something I thought I would never do, but I must admit I had a whale of a time there. And of course, at 18 I left and went into the refinery.
Just getting back to your job as